The Good Liars.
The Good Liars.
This is boring.
We're boring.
I will die standing in my boots.
Herschel, yeah. I got you some condoms.
What made everyone so weird and sad that they had to come out here?
Oh, Mr. President, welcome to the show.
We are the Good Liars, and we are going to tell the truth. Trust us.
Welcome to the Good Liars Tell the Truth. I am Jason Selvig.
And I'm Devram Stiefler, and we are the Good Liars.
And we may be the Good Liars, but on this show, we are going to tell the truth. And Devram, I'm in vacation mode right now.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Look how cool you are.
That's right. I wish I could just do the podcast like this. I feel like I'm doing a video, like an interview right now. It's nice.
You can do that. You can just do the podcast like that. Vacation Jason.
Yeah, it's a little bit like playing poker at the World Series of Poker. You know, like, can't get a read on me right now.
No, I have no idea what you're thinking. Do you want to tell me one thing you're thinking?
I'm thinking I kind of want to take the glasses off. I think it's a little
okie doke. There we go. Short experiment. It was really fun, though.
Really, 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 really fun. Really fun. I just spit.
How is vacation?
Vacation's going great. It's going great. It's very hot and muggy. Up here in the Northeast right now. And
because of course you're in the Northeast of Thailand, very hot and muggy there.
That's true. Yes. Yes. That's exactly where I am. But today we're going to talk about something, you know, in the news right now. One would think getting shot by a would-be assassin would change a man. But if that man was Donald Trump, you would probably be thinking wrong. Because after the Butler PA rally, Devram and I, we talked about it in the last episode. We had this feeling, this changes everything. Everything is going to change. But Donald Trump is the man who will not change. He kind of only has one mode, and we're seeing it all play out here. Right, Devram?
I don't know. I feel like I had like a moment where I thought anybody, even if you might think you have very little in common with them, period, in life and your outlook and how you relate to other people and whatever, that a near-death experience might change a person. I think we were all waiting to see if that was going to be the case, but it, like, so is not.
All right, let's dive into it. The truth, Donald Trump, not a changed man.
Spoiler.
It was a traumatic moment when Donald Trump was shot at. Obviously, one person died, two other people were seriously injured. It felt like a big moment for the country. You think back at like the JFK assassination, the assassination attempt on Reagan, at these big, big moments that happen in the United States. And it feels like sometimes it's an inflection point. Things change. And it really felt for a couple days, maybe a matter of hours, I don't know, that maybe this election was in the bag for Donald Trump. Maybe that there was going to be a change in his personality. He was going to go and try and be like a unifying force. But it hasn't really happened at all.
No. I feel like we're taking our cues from him. I don't know if I mentioned this last week or not, but I feel like he had the ball in his court. He could have done a lot of things to like signal to people that he had changed had he wanted to. I don't know that I would have believed it, but he could have done it. He had the power to. And we just watched him like maybe flirt with that for a day or two. And then it just like rapidly became what it's always been.
So let's talk about what we saw at the RNC. And we touched on this last week, but he goes out there. He looks like he's moved on the first night. You know, we were just 48 hours removed from the assassination attempt. And he's out there. You think maybe is Donald Trump going to cry right now? What's happening? He seems genuinely touched. And then we had his granddaughter go out there and say, like, you don't know this man the way I know this man. He is he's just granddad to me. And now here we are, just how long has it been, Devram? My brain is going crazy right now. It's been
I
like,
feel like it's been 2 weeks.
It's been 2 weeks. Okay. Not even it's been 2 weeks, yeah. So it's almost been 2 weeks since Hulk Hogan.
Right. Yeah, so there are important things. Like you said, a nation can be changed by an assassination attempt. You're keeping time, though, by wrestling news.
Yes.
Not by that. And so it's been about 2 weeks
since Hogan. Yeah. MWE, major wrestling events. That's how my calendar works. And obviously SummerSlam's coming up this weekend. We'll get into that never on this podcast. Don't worry, DeVrom. Sorry to make you like a little scared that we're going to talk about wrestling this week. That's it. That's the end of wrestling.
That's it? I think. We dodged a bullet? Wait, I can't be saying that right now.
Yeah. That seems like something you've been doing the last couple of weeks. You've been really going into like the bullet metaphors, things like that. Shooting himself in the foot, dodging a bullet.
Right. Well, yeah. I don't know. I mean, does that say something about me or that we use these metaphors and in our culture? You know, it's something to think about.
Maybe it says more about us collectively. You're right, DeRom.
That's what I'm saying. We have this country where gun use is so normalized, you know, and so basically, I'm not going to take any responsibility for that.
Well, that's the American way. I appreciate that. That's the Trump way, really, more than anyone, which I guess is the American way in a way. So let's look at the missteps or how Trump has kind of fumbled this goodwill that was kind of in his favor for a while. Number one, at the RNC, he picked J.D. Vance as his VP pick. J.D. Vance, who... You've done a little bit of research on him. You know this guy. You actually know him very well.
Yeah, I read his book. I wanted to know a little bit more about him. But this was a couple of years ago. I just wanted to know. This book was taking the country by storm. I don't know if people realize there was a movie made, Hillbilly Elegy. That's the name of the book and the movie. Where was this guy coming from? You know, coming out of nowhere to be a Senate candidate. Must be a super impressive guy. Well, I read the book, and I'm just not so sure.
We just happened to be going on a trip to Ohio, just to set the scene here. You finished the book, and I remember driving down the road and kind of just like an offhanded comment, just like, oh, hey, look, J.D. Vance is having a rally. And we kind of like go past it, like not even thinking
past it. Why were we in Ohio again?
We were just sightseeing. We were sightseeing. Just on vacation. We were on vacation.
Just sightseeing.
Yeah.
We were on a sightseeing trip.
J.D. Vance, I noticed it from while I'm driving. And then you're like, hey, wait. Hold the phone here. Stop the car. And I'm like, what? What's the matter? It's like, turn around. I need to go to this J.D. Vance event. And you just had finished Hillbilly Elegy.
He said, oh, okay. And I said, that's the president. He said, what's a president?
Hey, J.D., I got your book.
Okay.
And I just had one question for you.
Can I finish my remarks first?
Yeah, I just want to know if I could get a refund. I didn't like the book very much.
All right.
There
we go.
$16.99.
You're going to go.
$21 in Canada. Could I have $16.99 plus tax?
No, you can't.
Do either of you guys have cash on you?
No.
Just $16.99 plus tax.
You're going to need to go.
It just wasn't that good. I didn't find the main character wasn't very likable.
I should say something to you.
Okay, sure.
Which I don't know that I've said before.
Okay,
I'm sorry for derailing our vacation. You know what I mean? Where were we on our way to again?
We were going to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, I believe.
Right.
And then we were going to head back down to Kings Island in Cincinnati. And then we were going to go check out Columbus.
Sky Chili. We were going to try
Skyline Chili. Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry for kind of derailing our vacation there. But when you read a book... and you're not satisfied with it. Almost when you have any product, you know, say you buy a new blender and it just doesn't blend.
Yeah.
And then you see the guy who made the blender, you're going to say something.
You kind of got a preview of how terrible he was on stage when his like joke bombed there. Like, what's a president? And everyone's kind of just like,
okay. All right. Okay. Yeah. Okay. He's kind of quoting one of his kids. I think, what's a president? It didn't help that there were only like 30 people in the audience, but that kind of speaks to like how weird politics are. So that was a year and a half ago?
2 years ago. 2 years ago.
So he's now the vice presidential nominee. He's gotten a year and a half of actual political experience. Like what would qualify him to have this position? And it makes you think about the people saying Kamala isn't qualified enough. There's just so much more experience there. But it's a strange world. Like,
yes,
that he's on this like meteoric rise, maybe, or maybe they're, you know, Donald Trump is going to regret having picked him. We don't know how that turns out yet.
Yeah, I feel like this last week was a week of regret with him. And the last thing you can do to Donald Trump is make it seem like you're making him a loser. If he's making him seem like a loser for making this pick, Donald Trump could be very, very upset about this.
I got to say, you're talking about his jokes not landing. Donald Trump, for all his faults, he usually, at least with his audience, he knows what's going to land and what's not.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of like dead air there. Like he knows how to use his audience and how to get his moments. And I'm not sure JD does.
No, no. There's got to be like some like comedian analogy with that. You know, it's like Steve Martin in his heyday. He could go out there and do anything. And you've got like 20,000 people packed in a stadium to watch him. And the warm-up guy, he doesn't have that name recognition. People aren't ready and willing to laugh at it.
Right.
So I guess I'm just taking J.D. Vance's side here and making him, you know.
I'm sorry. I'm going to say I don't think J.D. is as talented. I don't think he has the talent. I know what you mean. He doesn't have the name recognition. People aren't going in there. But he's got the Donald Trump stamp of approval, and he's just falling flat. I know we talked about it last week, but his Diet Mountain Dew joke and his kind of like, please clap.
Yeah.
Jeb Bush kind of like murmur through the audience. If there are a couple more of those, that could sink him.
So let's talk about the couches. Okay, let's talk about the couch in the room here.
Yeah.
Explain this couch thing to me, Devram. I've been a little offline recently, and I know everyone's making jokes about J.D. Vance becoming intimate with a couch.
I love how classy you are. I think we talk about a lot of like tricky subjects, you know, and the things that we do and on the podcast here, and the way that you handle all of them with such maturity and grace, I think
always
is incredible. Tell
us about him fucking the couch.
people are making claims that J.D. Vance made beautiful love to a couch. The rumor began on X, which is a website formerly known as Twitter. You were telling me this story that Elon in his past companies is like constantly, he's like on the board of many companies and was constantly like, we got to call it X. And people are like,
stop.
Facepalm. Like, can you stop? Like, we have real business to discuss. And now he spent $44 billion so he could do it.
I know. I'm the richest man in the world. Now I'm going to make my bad idea good.
Or make it my bad idea reality, at least.
Yes. Yeah.
So an ex user on X.
An ex Twitter user whose current ex user
tweeted. An ex user tweeted. An ex user tweeted on X.
Shaking my head. Disdain.
All right. An ex user posted on July 15th, quote, can't say for sure, but he might be the first VP pick to have admitted in a New York Times bestseller to fucking an inside out latex glove shoved between two couch cushions. And then in parentheses, it says Vance, Hillbilly Elegy, pages 179 to 181. That was the tweet.
181. This took place over three pages. He talks about this for three pages.
Right. Right. Like, you don't know right away it's a latex glove. That's something he's going to kind of tell you over the course of many, many paragraphs.
Right. Yeah. This is how I did it. If you want to do it at home, this is how you do it.
So I think the thing that sells it, obviously, is the end. It says Vance, comma, Hillbilly Elegy, comma, pages, you know, period, 179 to 180. It looks like they're really citing the book. But if you went there and you read those pages, as I claim to have.
Now you ruined the bit after all this.
I ruined the bit. All they'd find apparently is Vance talking about his time at Ohio State University. So it's kind of an easy one to disprove, but it speaks to the power of the internet. People are still talking about it. It's been days.
Part of me is like, oh, it's funny. Somebody did this. It's a funny little prank and it's got a life of its own. And then Trump has like ruined all this fake news stuff where it's like, you have to immediately go and be like, is this true? Is this true? Trump says so much stuff that's fake. And it's like, do you want to be part of the problem with this? Or is it just a joke and that's funny? I don't know. Complicated times, I guess. Complicated times.
I mean, I think it's kind of like, it deserved to have its short moment because it's just a funny thing to do. But like, once it is revealed that—
make love to the couch or do the prank?
The prank should last the exact same amount of time as the love lasted.
14 hours. 14 hours.
No, I mean, I guess I'm just saying the tweet is funny. The joke deserved to get spread around. But it is weird that people aren't all on the same page that it didn't happen.
Right.
Just a strange manifestation of X.
All right. Speaking of X, there was another thing. Yes, the dolphin. Explain the dolphin woman thing to me, DeVrom.
So there's an account called Crazy Clips, I guess. This seems like one of those things that would come in like your For You page where it's trying to get you to, it's clickbait. It says, woman gets violated by a dolphin and enjoys it. Pretty classy stuff. Now, JD re-X's this, reposts this, and says, maybe the internet was a mistake.
It was a screenshot. That's an important part of the thing, I think.
Yes. So JD Vance posts this screen grab of this wildly titled video and says, maybe the internet was a mistake. But there's something weird about the screen grab, right?
There are two bold words, woman and dolphin.
What does that mean to the layperson?
That means that he searched for those keywords and screenshotted the tweet that he found with the two words.
Which I can't, it's funny. I don't know. So he saw this and then some time passed and he was like, you know what? I'm going to try out my little joke here. So like time went by and it wasn't a spur of the moment thing. He thought about it and then he searched it and then he screen grabbed it and then he posted this. So maybe kind of X-rated, but to me, another Jeb type flop.
Like, I guess the big deal from my understanding with all this is that he looked up these things and everyone was like, oh my gosh, he's looking up these things, dolphin and woman together. This says this is something he's searching for.
No. When
it's very obvious that he saw the thing, thought it was funny or weird or whatever, and then searched for it again so he could make this joke, which I agree is a little Jeb-like, but I don't think, like, people are trying to make it feel like it's like he's got this bestiality thing or something.
It's not. I'm so tired of people. He saw it and then he thought, I've got a clever idea. I think that's why it's Jebby. I don't think it's creepy. I think it's more like he thought he was going to make this funny little joke and he had enough time to realize it was probably not the right joke to make and he still went back and searched it.
Yeah, he's just trying to be a little, he's trying to get a reaction, which we're going to get to more of that in a little bit. But okay, so that's JD Vance. Mistake number one, maybe, if you're going to look at it that way, for Donald Trump picking JD Vance. He had the opportunity to have a more moderate person on the ticket. He did not take that opportunity. He picked kind of a strange guy, if nothing else, just kind of an odd guy. Oh my God, a spider is just walking on the...
Can we get a shot of that? Wait a second. What'd you do to it? Did you put it in a jar to release it outside?
I released it outside, yeah.
Okay.
And it went, and then it actually
it was a beautiful
got,
moment.
Got back to its family.
Okay.
It like got went immediately to his family. So it's
good. Oh, it's a happy moment. Oh my word. I'm so glad to hear that.
Oh my stars. Okay, so JD Vance,
I maintain that if he could have kept his mouth shut for the remainder of the election, not said anything crazy and picked Nikki Haley, he was a lock. But he wouldn't do either of those things.
Right.
After the assassination attempt, I think if he had done those things, he would definitely be the president. But 2 weeks later, not even close.
Another misstep in our minds that Donald Trump has made since the assassination attempt is he's really, really going on the attack. And how he's going on the attack, to me, shows that I don't know if he's up for the job. Because if you look at some of the attacks he's laid into Kamala Harris after it was announced that Joe Biden was stepping down, he says, he calls her, and these are two emails. This is an email and a Truth Social post. So one of them says, crooked Kamala raised millions, exclamation point. Okay. Does that sound familiar? Just say yes or no. Yeah.
Yes.
No?
Yeah.
Okay. Another one says, lion Kamala Harris destroys everything she touches.
No.
Yes.
Now I'm sure what I'm hearing.
He's recycling his insults, which to me...
He only has like 20 of them.
Well, you'd think you've got a new opponent right now. The most important thing is you got to come up with a really good...
A new nickname.
Nickname. And he also said laughing Kamala. So that's, I guess, maybe what he's going to go with. But to me, that's not even like insulting in any way. Like, it's like, yeah, she laughs,
no.
And you can draw attention to that,
yeah,
if you want, but
So you think you think this like lack of nickname creativity speaks poorly to his ability to govern?
I'm saying you could argue that it was the one thing that he did well, and now he can't even do it anymore. And I don't even think he did. Lion Ted, Crooked Hillary, like
they were good. They worked. I mean, they worked to some degree. But I'm with you, and I think he only has like. I guess my point when I said there was only 20, I'm saying there are so many words and there are so many people working for him. And if you could talk this through and you could not reuse.
But he didn't. I mean, you know, maybe these are just his little test balloons to see if anything sticks with it.
Right.
He's just going to just use different adjectives for
the laughing Kamala. Okay.
It shows his age again, because.
Yeah.
He's using nicknames he's already used. Has he forgotten that he already used these nicknames? Like, all he could do is insult people. That's his whole brand, kind of.
Right.
So is he just not fit to make the big decisions? Which, to him, there's not a bigger decision than picking your insult.
Right. Or, like, how to deal with North Korea, or picking your insult, or whatever. I'm kind of with you. I mean, how are you going to make any of the important decisions that you would as president if you can't take care of like
your insults, that
your bread and butter, like your bullying. This is kind of what his whole thing was in business before politics, even, was that he was able to kind of bully people. And it comes down to the nickname, I think, for his political career, especially Marco. I mean, that's a good one. Marco Rubio's kind of little. Got him.
Yeah, now everyone's saying, like, I want to say something, too, about, like, now everyone's jumping on, like, this weird thing where people are calling Donald Trump and all the Republicans weird. Let's just pump the brakes here for a second. We were calling Ted Cruz weird about eight and a half years ago.
Yeah.
Maybe a little credit is due. You got on stage, asked why he was so sad and weird. So I would like a little bit of credit here. I think that's important.
I'm sick and tired of people not realizing that we called Ted Cruz weird 8.5 years ago. Yes. Getting that off our chest here for all of you.
And saying that sentence out loud is in no way pathetic.
Is in no way sad. There is no problem with saying that out loud. And I am glad that we're talking about this.
But this is just kind of like goes to show Donald Trump with his nicknames now. It goes to show, like, that he is kind of a one-trick pony, and that he only feels comfortable when he's on the offense right now, you know, and when he's feeding people's anger. Like, that's how he, you know, won, you know, even though he lost by 3 million votes in 2016. That's how he won in 2016, is off anger. That's how he ran in 2020, was with anger. That's the only way he motivates people, is by anger.
Right. And I think it's the only way he motivates himself. He has to feel like he's got a gripe. And I think he couldn't do it for longer than 2 or 3 days, pretend to, like,
right,
you know, be changed or not be on the offensive, and be thoughtful in some way and measured. And like, it was like 2 or 3 days. That was it. That's all he had.
I was just thinking about, like, when he gave his Oval Office address about COVID, you know, and he was just like, we all must come together and be stronger together. And like, he's saying these things and you're like, this guy does not believe a word. Yeah. Like, he can get the anger out because, like, he believes it.
We must come together and crush the Democrats and their liberal agenda.
The last thing I want to say about the him going on the offense now was when Joe Biden had his Oval Office address, Donald Trump took a picture of it, of himself in front of the TV. Like, he did this. He got Joe Biden to quit the race. He got 81-year-old Joe Biden to quit the race. He had everything to do with that disastrous debate performance when he was totally confused.
And you are shocked. You are shocked that Donald Trump would take credit for such a...
I thought he was going to be a bigger man now. He usually is.
I want to talk about kind of a wild thing that Donald Trump said in front of a group of Christians.
Christians, get out and vote just this time. You won't have to do it anymore. 4 more years. You know what? It'll be fixed. It'll be fine. You won't have to vote anymore, my beautiful Christians. I love you, Christians. I'm a Christian. I love you. Get out. You got to get out and vote. In 4 years, you don't have to vote again. We'll have it fixed so good you're not going to have to vote.
So a couple things to talk about there. One, it is pretty alarming to say that you should come out and vote because you won't have to.
I mean, yes, and I do think he will do whatever it takes to hold on to power. But I also think he saw everyone get upset about this, and he was like, I'm going to double down on this because it's going to keep me in the news.
Totally. And he can say he just means the country is going to be improved in 4 years and that they won't have to vote because he will have fixed so many things. That's what he can say. He has plausible deniability. That's his whole political career, I feel like, is saying things that go up to the edge and saying he didn't mean them. But the people who want to listen are listening. And he's got his little dog whistles. And that, to me, felt like one of them. People being like, we want a dictator on day one kind of crowd.
Right, right.
And so that spoke to them. But the other thing is just, and I know that we were saying we've been calling Ted Cruz weird for a long, long time. And now this word weird has become a focus point of the criticism of Democrat or of Republicans by Democrats in the last few days. That was weird. I love my Christians.
I know.
When I first heard it, I thought it was someone doing an impression. I heard it before seeing it. I thought it was a joke.
Yeah, no, I feel like he watches impressions of himself and then he's like, oh, that's good. I should turn that up a little bit there. That's good.
It was so
I love my Christians.
And it also sounds like he says, I'm not a Christian, but I think he says, I'm a Christian.
I think
something.
He said that too. Yeah, it took me three listens to be like, I love my Christians.
Yeah, it sounds like he's going to like, he wants to eat them up. He wants to eat the Christians.
You guys are so cute.
You guys are so cute. It's a weird way to be is what I was going to say. It's just a weird way to be. That word is resonating with me, but it's just a weird way to be. It's a strange thing. I mean, can you imagine? That was like Howard Dean's moment. It was way less weird than that.
Well, he has like 20 of those every single, not like
exactly.
Woo! But he has like, when we were like, did he just say that? What the hell is he talking about?
I love my Christians.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It really is beautiful.
Bizarre.
Well, for anybody out there who's thinking, we're wrong. Donald Trump is a changed man, and he's trying to be a better person right now, and you guys are just the lying left-wing media fake news talking about this right now.
Yikes, ouch.
Here is a quote from Trump. I know. He says, maybe I've gotten worse. at a rally in Minnesota on Saturday, former President Donald Trump once more escalated his attacks on Vice President Kamala Harris, painting her as extreme and mocking her demeanor. The New York Times says Trump makes clear that unity is over. So 2 weeks go by and unity is out the window.
Unity is over. Unity is so passe. It's about winning. It's about victory. It's about getting the Christians to vote.
You guys deserve a treat. You deserve a treat. You're so cute. I'll point some justices. It'll give you some fucked up stuff. You'll be so happy. That's a treat for you guys. We'll take some more rights away from women. How's that sound? How about a little treat? Oh, yes. We'll get rid of gay marriage. I don't care about anything. I have no morals. As long as people love me. I'm going to burn it down, folks. I'm going to destroy this country,
folks. Destroy the Republican Party. If he loses this election,
it's over.
It's so over.
Maybe.
With how much losing he will have done. It just has to be.
I don't know.
The midterms, the last election.
If he loses the election, I think, one, like we've said many times on this show, he's going to say he won, even if he lost by 20 million votes, which will probably be a lot closer than that. He's going to say he won. There's going to be a lot of people with guns who are going to go, Donald Trump isn't lying. Because I've based my whole identity on Donald Trump and thinking that he is chosen by God. We got to go out there and right this wrong. And there'll be some violence. And who knows? Maybe there'll be a civil war. I don't know. Who knows?
So that's one possibility. I would have said that, but I've been trying to be a little more optimistic. I think
we're switching.
We're switching here. I think there's going to be a real chance that if he loses, that people are going to say, that Republicans are going to say, we can't go on this journey with him again. We can't do the thing where he...
Who's in control?
Tries to cling to power. Well, I think there are about half of the people would jump ship if he loses. There would finally be time to say, we can't just keep losing. They keep losing. Yeah. If he wins, totally different story. But this would be like losing the general, losing, you know, the red wave that wasn't a red wave and losing this. I think they would say, we're not actually in a good position to win with this person. And I think that the tide would turn. But if he wins...
I'm going to be a glass completely empty person here and say, one, he would never say he lost. And then two, it's that his supporters are the ones in control. There's been billionaires that have tried to stop him and they haven't been able to stop him with money.
He loves his Christians. He's got a lot of Christians. I think that's a good place to conclude that little sidebar. I hear you. He hasn't been defeated yet by any of these people, so it could be more of the same, but just have this feeling they can't lose this many elections and not have defectors, but we'll see.
I've said it before, and I'll say it again. If losing an election by 7 million votes, saying that you won that election when there's no evidence that there was widespread voter fraud, inciting a riot at the Capitol, having...
You just need a couple more riots, just a couple more riots, and people are going to start leaving.
If there was no, like, impeachment after, like, a mob of supporters tried to kill the people who could have impeached him, then that's it. Like, it's over. It's over with it. Like, I'm saying there is no, like, going to be a come to Jesus moment where everyone's going to be like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I was so wrong. We got to get rid of this guy.
No, they're not going to have an actual emotional break where they realize. I think it would just be enough people saying, we can't keep going down this road. We keep losing.
No, because they'd be afraid. They'd be afraid that Donald Trump would like put a Truth Social
violence,
call you a lightweight, and then somebody's gonna be like, lightweight. That means I gotta send them anthrax. They're a lightweight. That's what that means. So I don't know. I think that maybe I'm just a little bit pessimistic today, and maybe we can switch back next week, and I'll be a little bit more of an optimist. Okay,
sounds good.
Should we have a moment of truth, Jerome?
Please. After all that, what a journey.
All right, let's have a little bit of a moment of truth here. The truth is that unity was never an option for Donald Trump because Donald Trump's whole brand is division. If he really wanted unity, he could have won the election at the RNC by picking a more moderate candidate, but that's not Trump's style. Trump feeds off division. He feeds off anger. And he's not giving that up because that is how he quote unquote wins. Big air quotes here in the sunlight.
Beautiful moment in truth.
Well, thank you for joining us on The Good Liars Tell the Truth. We want to remind everybody that we have a special bonus episode on Hero Hero. You can support us on Hero Hero for just $5 a month. You can help us go to all these terrible, terrible, terrible places. Why are you laughing, Devon? What's so funny?
Sorry, I didn't want to interrupt, and then I was going to say, bonus episode, and then I thought, God, he's going to hate that.
The bonus episode little thing that you do has no place on the main show. You got to pay for it.
I know. That's why I didn't do it.
We're going to be showing another video from the RNC talking about our experience there on the ground a little bit more in this week's episode. So please support us on Hero Hero. Well, Devram, is there anything you want to personally say now? We're at the end of the episode.
Yes, finally.
I want to say I'm sweating right now.
I know. It's a tense time in the country. It's a tense time in the country with the election coming up. We're all sweating it.
Before we go, Devram, do you have any words of wisdom?
You wouldn't care what people think of you if you knew how seldom they do.
Ain't that the truth?
A little bit. That's a little insulting, honestly, if I think of it. It's like nobody gives a shit.
That is the point, though. Nobody gives a shit.
Right, but maybe sometimes people do care about you.
Oh, that's true. I do care about you, Jerome. And I do care about you, dear listener.